is The Business of Being Human. I'm Christine Hildebrand.
And I'm Wendy Horn Brower of Intune Collective. We help leaders like you reinvent how you lead and operate, connecting you and your companies to greater possibility and performance.
From joy to awareness to consciousness and capacity building, we know that business as usual isn't business at all. Welcome, everybody. We're so excited you're here to join us. This is for sure going to be one of the most exciting episodes that we have presented. And I say that because I feel like it's a little controversial what we're going to talk about today. And that is, what does spirituality have to do with business? I'm so excited to have my dear friend Brian Bashand all the way from Toronto here with me today to talk about this really interesting topic. We all know that it's not business as usual anymore. And I want to throw out an interesting new idea for our audience to ponder. What does a former Catholic priest and a master certified spirit coach have to add to business? What could that potentially bring in creating new ways that people lead and new ways to operate business? So we're gonna dive into that today. But first of all, I want to welcome you, Brian, and I'm so excited that you're here, and thank you so much for doing this with me.
Thank you. It is such a joy to be here with you and with your community today. And I've been so looking forward to this. When I saw it, today was the day, I was all excited for the conversation.
Me too. So we're here to talk about this idea of what spirituality has to do with business. And I know that is going to bring up a lot of things for people, and we're going to break them down. You know, we're gonna dive into it today. We're gonna help people understand what we mean by spirituality, because it is a name, right? It is a word that carries a lot of energy for people and a lot of, let's say, baggage for people. And we want to break that down. And we also want to share with our listeners how we are using spirituality in our work today. And we may call it spirituality, but it could be human development. It could be all kinds of different things, but we're going to dive into that. And so before we get started, though, Brian, I'd like people to know a little bit about your story and how you came to leading your company, Evolution Evolution, based in Toronto, and what your journey has been in your own coming into alignment and truth yourself, and what you're doing today to help people.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I am in Toronto, but I'm actually an American. So I'm a dual citizen now. So I've been in Toronto 10 years, moved here from New York City. And before that, I was born and raised in Boston and was a Catholic priest in Boston for 8 years. 8 very joyful years, to be quite honest. Obviously, I was very young. I was about 27 when I was ordained. I served 4 years in a parish. And, you know, basically, when you think of like the parish priest, that's who I was. I did weddings. It was a young parish, so I did tons of weddings, which led to tons of baptisms. And I was there, you know, for the hospital and teaching and part of the fabric of so many lives. And then one Thursday evening, I received a phone call asking for myself to come in the next day to the headquarters to have a meeting about an opportunity. And I found out at that meeting that the new cardinal who had come to Boston had selected me to be his new private secretary. That would translate into kind of a secular term as chief of staff. And so obviously anyone who is really selected for that role is usually being groomed for more leadership. And so it was an amazing 4 years of traveling to the Vatican, sometimes once a month, sometimes more, handling diplomatic events, master of ceremonies. And it was really an incredible opportunity because my role was to support the cardinal at that time, who was brought in to bring healing and restoration to the church that had been through a very horrific time. But at the same time, there was an evolution within myself. of my own spiritual evolution, my own evolution as a human being, that I knew in my heart that I wanted to be able to love another person freely, that I wanted to stand in my truth as a gay man, to live that life freely and lovingly, and knowing that I could bring my gifts into the world in a powerful way and still be aligned at the core of who I was. So I freely resigned, all in great terms, and I went to New York City and became an executive in the world of philanthropy. And so there I am in the heart of Manhattan, right before 2008, when everything collapsed, to raise millions for medical research. I ended as executive director at NYU Medical. And then MetaCanadian, that was the catalyst for the move to Toronto, continued as an executive here, then got recruited to become a partner in executive search. But then there was that other deeper evolution, that question of what do I desire? And I desired to bring it all together. That sense of having been a priest, that sense of spirituality, I'm not speaking religion. I'm talking about that deeper purpose, that love of who you are, helping others to be there. I wanted to bring that to help executives. Because when we are aligned personally and professionally as leaders, that is where the greatest impact comes in the work that we do. And so that's where I spend my time. And I think the pandemic has just brought that even to new levels, especially for leaders, to show that the old way of doing work isn't going to sustain you. Only when we do that inner work and we're fully aligned with our purpose, our values, at the core of who we are, we'll have impact in reaching the results and making the impact we desire. So my company is called Evolution, Evolution, because as we evolve with others to evolve the world.
That's awesome. I love that story, and I love the way we came into contact with one another. And we have a lot of similarities. I mean, I grew up in the Catholic Church too in San Francisco and went through the entire, parochial school and upbringing. And, later on in my life, developed a deeper sense and calling for what you were calling that inner alignment or that joy. And where does that exist, right? And so that started my spiritual journey in early 2002 myself. And that was really coming into alignment with my truth. And so that's what I feel is indicative of my spiritual journey is coming into alignment with my truth.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I always say, when you stand in your truth and embrace what's in your heart, then you are free to do what you need to do.
Absolutely.
And that really is what sets the foundation in our life.
Absolutely. For so long, I was leading the spiritual life and coaching people and being a spiritual coach for people to also align with their truth, and also being this professional executive that's helping organization and businesses grow. And for like 10 years, there was this pull, like, which direction do I go? Until Intune launched in 2019, where it's been a combination of those things, right? Mm-hmm. We really believe that in order for organizations to grow, they have to do the inner work, which means to develop the sensing abilities to understand who they are, what their purpose is, and also the leaders themselves around the table, how they are coming together and working together and what they're bringing to the table. And so that has been something that has come together here at Intune, where we bring the aspects of human development in with business development. And that's been a super, super inspiring and elating work for us on our end.
It's amazing. And that's how we connected. I mean, it's, the power of social media, and especially LinkedIn. I remember when Intune launched on LinkedIn, it came into my feed. First of all, wonderful colors, branding, but it was your messaging. It was professional business, but there was a messaging there that I just intuitively knew immediately. I'm like, there's something here. And then I saw some of your posts, and that's when I reached out. I said, I love what you're doing, because I could tell it resonated. And it was that exactly everything you said of how to bring that in. And I think Intune is a beautiful example of what you created and what you're bringing into the world is just profound. And, you know, it will resonate and it will draw people in, just like it did me. And here we are now.
Well, we are really fortunate, and I'm personally fortunate because I've got an amazing group of partners, and all women's leadership team with Wendy Hornbrower and Sophia Chansey and Lisa Hardy. And it's really a collective vision. And it's so great to know that what we're putting out into the world is actually attracting not only clients, but people that are like-minded, that are doing the work like you. I wanted to talk about a little bit about like the time that we're in and why spirituality in business is really something that we think that leaders and organizations ought to consider more, and that it's not such a drastic idea or something that is far-fetched or woo-woo for that matter. We have, as a culture, as a species, have developed technologically so much, and our emphasis and focus has been there. We are creating AI to actually replace human beings now. And we feel that at this time, especially brought on by the pandemic, which really forced all of us to do the inner work and reevaluation in terms of what's really important in our lives and how we are making choices, right? And where our time goes. We feel that with all of the transformations in business and how we have been basically exercising business since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution with a lot more of a command and control mentality, that it's becoming more of a human-centered evolution and a human-centered, that growth is becoming invigorated from the individual, from people, from humanity, more than it is being driven by technology. And if we're really getting into an age where technology is replacing some levels of menial work from people, for instance, in manufacturing, our sense is that there's really not a lot of place for leaders and organizations to go, but to develop their sensing ability, their consciousness, the energetic ability to originate new solutions, to think about ways to invent that are broader than a linear maybe approach that we have been doing in the past. So that's what we're feeling like, that this has a role right now in the time and in this time. And I was just curious about what your sense is and what you're noticing about this time, because we're certainly finding that people are a lot more receptive to taking the time to really focus on what's happening in the interdynamics of their leaders and teams. And are we really anchored and connected to the core reason we are in existence as a business in general?
Sure. So I think, you know, it's important, you know, there are moments as a species, we evolve and we keep growing. And, you know, that is just something. You go to the Natural History Museum in New York City and you can walk through and you can see evolution through the thousands and thousands of years as human beings. And I think it's important from the lens we're looking at today, from kind of workplace, that over the past few years, more and more of, you know, spirituality has been brought into corporate life, that, you know, it's important to highlight. There's been a better sense of mindfulness. You hear people speaking about mindfulness at work. Then certain companies have had, you know, wellness days. There's been in-house yoga, a sense of reflection, etc. So that has been happening. But I think the pandemic was the great pause on the planet for all of humanity as a species. Because as you well know, when we take time away and are still or we're quiet, that is where we do more reflection. And it's very easy to get distracted. You know, anytime that you want to sometimes be quiet, it's easy to start thinking about something you want to do. Or maybe it's something you don't want to do, but maybe it's something you just get it, your attention goes somewhere else. But we were forced as human beings globally to be still, to be quiet, to be alone. And that impacts work. And that is what's happened inwardly for professionals to start to awaken in themselves of a sense of who their core values are. That this sense of being in a car 1 hour each way And, you know, the work environment they were in is, wow, it really wasn't resonating. There was something new that they desired. So there is a change of how we are evolving and how work is to be done. Technology is powerful. It's going to continue. But this is a moment of redefining not only work, but also realigning how humans we wish to engage in the work and with each other. And my prediction, Brian's crystal evolution ball, I firmly believe that only the organizations that really embrace this inner work and being attentive to this awakening that's happening in the business culture will succeed. The old way of cultures and business environments that have existed before the pandemic will not succeed because human nature has changed. And once humans have changed, only then will it impact work and move forward. So we're at a very powerful moment, and it's going to keep happening. And just to pay attention to the signs, and what does that mean?
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. And we believe that wholeheartedly at Intune. In fact, mm-hmm. we feel like we're the trailblazers. We're the change makers or the bridge from people to go to old ways of operating to embracing these new ways. But mm-hmm. it's not easy, right? No. The work's not easy. It's scary for people to stop and do that inner reflection. It's also apprehensive. I notice organizations get really nervous when they slow down. Mm-hmm. You know, they get really nervous, like, all of a sudden, we're not being productive because we're mm-hmm. so used to equating movement with progress. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. We always say internally at Intune, you have to slow down in order to speed up. You know, when you get a team of people, really, when you slow down enough to get them super clear around what the goals are, what success looks like on outcome and align around that, you speed your progress and efficiency toward that goal. I mean, we've seen it happen over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But we do have to help people feel comfortable with stillness and slowing down to actually do that work that you're talking about. And we absolutely agree. I think that the organizations that develop this muscle of not only slowing down, but having the ability to include multiple voices, diverse voices around the table, and wait for each other. You know, mm-hmm. wait for each other when someone is not fully on board. And why mm-hmm. is that? And to be able to address it. We pride ourselves on being able to address the critical business challenges, but also address the human growth opportunities that exist in order for growth to be even possible.
I think one thing, and just to build on all those superb points, you know, that you raised, it's also about data. So I think, you know, your work, my work, and we're united with so many others who are around the world doing this, is not only trailblazing this, but it's also a sense of gathering data. Because I think organizations would become more comfortable when there's data from employers saying, you know, it was hard for us to slow down, you know, but we started implementing this or we did this and the results were this. It impacted even more growth. There was better communication. So I think we're at a moment right now that we have to be attentive to the data that's gathering. And those companies that do embrace it and they are able to share from their hearts of how it's impacted and even the challenges, they will become the ambassadors quite clearly of how it impacts. And I think that's what's going to be really important in helping organizations collect that to really own it and then bring it forward.
Yeah, and to see it tangibly as far as an ROI and a benefit. I mean, we certainly have seen it since we've been working with clients, and it's looking like definitely improved revenue and improved efficiency and effectiveness at a team coordination level. And also the thing that also we're noticing is a reduction in attrition, which means that people are able to hold on to their employees, which in this market in this labor market, in the era of the Great Resignation, that's a huge value add and an equation of cost savings for any organization. So we're definitely seeing the data, but I agree with you, is that people, leaders, CEOs, they have to see it for themselves. We certainly have testimonials and case studies that are showing that this approach works in terms of producing the outcomes that people want to see, that are valuation and commercialization and all of those good things. But there's more than one way to get there. And I think we've tried the consistent way in the past, right? You know, if you push, if you drive, if you run your people into the ground, you're going to get more efficiency. Well, that no longer is holding true. And so we have to evolve and reinvent. And so this is a way to evolve and reinvent. And from what we're seeing, get even more outcomes than what you may have had as goals in the past.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, I mean, a lot of my work are with, you know, senior leaders. And I love working with senior leaders because they're the ones that often are able to make decisions and to change the culture. So yes. Working with a recent CEO of a hospital, and, you know, she's just amazing. Like, she does visualizations, you know, and with her teams and how she does it. And she was very interesting. She said, you know, when I'm doing strat planning, I actually see it as healing work. Because when I'm strat planning, I have the expertise and leading a senior team through it. It's actually a healing of looking at the impact we can bring, of collectively bringing together. So when leaders have that, they're going to attract others around them who have the same aspect. And that is just going to be a tsunami of positivity that can influence a company. But it's not easy. It takes time. It takes presence. And that's where a lot of my executives get frustrated, because they're like, oh, I don't have the right people around me. I'm doing this, but they're not there. But that's okay, you know, because it will prevail in the end. So that's why I think leaders who were invited in can really bring it forward.
I love that example, Brian, about the CEO of the health organization, because as you were describing it, what I saw was that her vision was wide and open around strategic planning, mm-hmm. versus it being a tactical, focused, very linear thing, like it's almost like a chore or a labor, mm-hmm. right? In terms mm-hmm. of the approach, right? But if you're opening the lens of all possibility, look at all that we get to do. What is possible if, what are the great things that could be come into fruition? I think that's a totally different approach to strategic planning. That's
absolutely. And it doesn't mean, I think some people think, oh, spirituality means like we're not supposed to make money or not supposed to have revenue. No, you'll make even more money. Absolutely. I mean, if your company, you know, desires to be a $1 billion company, that's amazing and fantastic. And that's all great. Right. This will only enhance you and make it even stronger. And it's really a sense of moving away from, this is what the work I do, this is my work, to this is my mission. Mm-hmm. When you approach things as this is a mission, yes, we're going to make money and impact, it changes the whole dynamic. And that's powerful. That is powerful.
Right. That's so true. Let's talk about what we mean about spirituality. I mean, when we're naming that, we're naming a bunch of things, right? The spirituality is sort of like the umbrella term, but that's not really what it is. I mean, for us, it's consciousness and awareness, right? And as I described earlier, it's truth, right? Coming into your own truth and alignment and connecting to that at a really core level. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other ways that would you describe what we mean by when we're saying spirituality in business? How would you describe it? Because, you know, both of us have this Catholic background, but we're not talking about religion.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. So I'll start out with what it's not. When we refer to spirituality, you know, it's about spirit. You know, I remember in high school, right? Remember in the yearbook, there was always like a nomination, like class spirit award. You know, it's the individual, it's the organization that is embodying the values, the message, and the joy of what you want to bring. And so when we refer to spirituality in business, it's not about religion. And it's not about doing that. It's about the value. It's about the inner aspect that you're embodying. I think one of the most important aspects, and something I love to speak on, and I love to have a little conversation, your insights on this too, Christine, about intuition in business. Because every single human being has intuition. You know, you'll hear certain people say, you know, it's my gut sense. I don't know what it is. I just have this gut sense. And however someone may define that for themselves, but that intuition is spirituality. And it has a powerful place in business. Because yes, we need data. Yes, we need to look at reports. We need the experts to show us the numbers. And sometimes, you know, that is what guides us. But we often can also tap into our intuition is always gathering information around us through all of our senses. And intuition is never wrong, but sometimes our kind of evaluation of it can be wrong because we want it to go a certain way. But intuition can lead us to creative solutions. And I can certainly share with you a very powerful way my intuition helped me raise millions when all the data around me was showing it wasn't possible. So intuition is a sense of being open and being open to what is possible and sometimes having us take creative action in a way that brings peace and brings us to the next level faster than what we think we should do.
I love the idea of intuition, and you're exactly right, because we're raised with education around five senses. You know, our sense of sight, our sense of smell, our sense of taste, our sense of touch, and our sense of hearing and listening. But we don't really talk about what I refer to as a sixth sense, which is our ability to sense things, right? Energy, see things, and some of us are more sensitive energetically. Some of us hear messages. Some of us see information. And it's the development of our sixth sense because we all have it. And we're not unique in any way, you and I, but we have adopted and trusted, right? We've put it into practice. We've experimented with it to a place where we've gotten to trust it, which means that then we start to call on it and realize that it is now a critical part of our lives in terms of how we make decisions, how we evaluate circumstances and situations. And for me personally, I bring it into supporting my clients because I'm able to see and sense things that they know is there that no one's yet named.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the power of it as we tap into it. And, you know, it really can have an influence on your colleagues around you. I mean, I was hired when I left the priesthood. My first job was with the American Cancer Society in New York City. I was on the corporate team, and that was in 2007. And so in September 2008, we all know what happened with the economy and the collapse. My portfolio, my book of business were all the Fortune 100 companies that all of a sudden were saying, oh, we no longer can, you know, stay with our commitment of $1 million plus gift here, et cetera, this amount here. So a few months later, one of the senior executives of the company called all of us from the business team into a meeting on a Friday afternoon. It was horrible at 3:30 and really kind of berated us about saying, you know, yes, we realize money's unavailable, but unless you raise money, there's going to be consequences and there's going to be more effects. So it was leadership in fear, not leadership of empowerment. And everybody walked back to their offices. It was a big open workspace. And you could see they were just pale, like they were drained from fear, anxiety. And I remember like packing up my little bag and I was just kind of upbeat. And someone said, aren't you like scared by this? I said, don't let their fear hold you back because that there are more possibilities here. Now, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I just knew something else was available. Over that weekend, I was out for a walk, I remember, and all of a sudden, a stack of business cards on my desk came to my mind. And there was one particular card and gentleman that just came to my mind. I had just met him about 2 months before at an event. And it was a sense when I got to work to look at the card. So I took it out. He worked at a very significant bank in Manhattan. And he spoke to me, I remember when I met with him, about diversity funding. And I reached out to him. And I just said, I just want to reach out to you to see if, you know, we might be able to have a conversation on something. Well, that led to a very significant gift that led to other gifts. It was the first LGBT plus cancer-related event that took place 6 months later that raised the greatest revenue for the organization that year, that led to starting a whole new department, that led to my colleagues, some of them who were very cerebral, starting to think about, wow, I'm going to reach out to this person because I might have this initiative. And the team started to bring in more money, not because of our strategic reports, but really because of intuition and following that. So it's powerful. It really can have an impact in our work, especially when things seem dire or challenging and we don't know what to do.
I love that story, Brian, and I'm really happy that you paid attention, right?
Me too.
You paid attention and look, all that happened. And I wanted to also, you named something in what you just described in that story about fear leadership versus empowerment leadership. And I have an acronym for fear. It's false evidence appearing real. And so you believed, you did not believe in the evidence of fear. And you believed in another opportunity or empowerment. You aligned with some other energy and life force. And that's the thing that I think we're awakening in people and reminding them they could have. It's a reminder. We've just forgotten, right? And also reminding organizations, but you've named intuition as a descriptor for spirituality. And I also believe vital life force is as well. Your own, personally, and where you reside and exist, but also organizationally. How do you tap into your core reason for being? How do you get behind universal support? How do you anchor into it and utilize vital life force energy or the universal support as being a motivator and an empowering your mission and purpose? And when you're anchored to your core reason for being, that automatically clicks in. And I think not a lot of organizations really understand or connected, or they act from that core reason for being enough. And if they sit back and go, okay, what we're really about is we're transforming the agricultural business in the world. We are bringing about technology solutions that advance education. You know, whatever it is that your core reason is for being, is really to be able to live that as an authentic way of being, a way of leading and operating, and having it enliven your culture in ways that you may not be doing. Because I think we tend to put our heads down and focus on getting those outcomes, right? And not really like going, okay, why are we doing this? And what brings us together that is a shared purpose?
Absolutely. And, you know, just going back to the point about fear, I love your acronym and how you broke it down, what each word means. You know, behind fear is always control. You know, and that's why when I stood, you know, sat there in that room and they're going on and on, this fear leadership is because they were trying to control the uncertainty of what was happening. And I know in my own personal life and in different moments, when I try and control because you're fearful, you actually block, as opposed to saying, I'm feeling fearful, but I know there's a creative solution here. There's, you have to be open to moving forward. That changes things and it connects us to that life force and helps us to be open and helps us to move forward. So yeah, absolutely. It's very powerful. And in organizations that are aware of that, that's where things flow. And that's where individuals will speak. Who wants to speak up when you're fearful, right? Because how are you going to be responded? Anyone who's been in a home that if it's ruled by fear, you just want to keep peace. You don't say anything. But if there's an openness, then you're more in tune to speak up. And those are the nuggets of wisdom that can help you see light and move forward in a very powerful new way.
Well, I mean, I think this is really important and helpful, Brian, that you're bringing up the fear idea, because I think that's part of what brings resistance. You know, fear just seems like a default mechanism, right? It's where we're, it's like an automatic thing, right? To go to fear sometimes. And we have to be aware of when fear's coming in and say no to it, right? Just plain and simple, like having awareness when it's present and to be able to make a choice in a different way. And you know, this goes to some of the things that you and I were talking about earlier around people's resistance, right? And I think when fear comes in, it's hard to resist it. It's hard to resist it. And so when we resist, when we're resisting, you know, or when we're succumbing to fear, we're not allowing ourselves to be in the greatest potential. Like we lose our sense of intuition. We lose that sense of stillness. We take on the fear and therefore it clouds our decision making, right?
Absolutely.
It actually starts the whole adrenal nervous system process of fight or flight as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which is not a great place to create or innovate from.
No, because you're just paralyzed. You know, you're just paralyzed. Like, oh, you know, you don't know what to do. And that's really important that, you know, resistance is something that, one thing I think it's important too, is that it will also trigger. Every single person has different things that get triggered. You know, I often will say in a boardroom, the same dynamics that are on a playground in a schoolyard are the same dynamics in a bunch of adults sometimes at a boardroom table. You know, there can be the bully. There can be someone who's wanting to lead. There can be someone who's shy that feels left out. There's someone at that table thinking and overthinking about what they want to say but don't say because how it's going to be, you know, perceived and brought out there. So there's resistance that gets triggered within every single person. But there's a sense here that if in a culture that's opening that up, it reduces some of that. It reduces that resistance. And there's more of a flow and an opportunity to bring it together.
Right. And we talk about creating like zones of safety, both psychologically and physically, so that people do feel a sense of freedom when they're coming together to make contributions. And fear typically isn't an experience in those zones of safety, right? Mm-hmm. It's not in there. So we're talking about even just creating a zone of safety where people feel a sense of belonging and inclusion could be a way that an organization could practice this idea of spirituality or energy or consciousness in business as well. So it could be really even simple as practicing diversity and inclusion.
Absolutely. You know, it can also be a sense, one of the things that I've done with my, you know, leadership team, et cetera, especially during the pandemic when everyone was virtual, was instead of beginning your meetings with just jumping into the first agenda or having people, you know, I heard many people were saying, oh, I try and just have people share what did they do on their weekend or how are they doing? You know, begin with a sense of asking each person to state something they're grateful for in their work that day. And it's amazing how that shifts the energy and the dynamics around, you know, that conversation. And it really is powerful. You'll notice people will smile. You'll notice people will share aspects of a sense of something they're confident about that it's impacted them or for someone else. Gratitude is spirituality, you know, and the more companies and organizations.
It's my religion.
Yeah, exactly.
And gratitude's my religion.
Yeah, and it's true. And the more that companies and organizations incorporate that into a daily aspect, it really changes the dynamic of a meeting. People start sharing more and it builds a natural trust. You hear all these organizations, oh, we need to build trust and communication. Well, start with gratitude and you're building trust and building stronger and stronger. It's one of the most powerful ways simply to start to incorporate this spirituality and a spirit life force into daily work into the organizations we're part of.
That's awesome. I love that idea for organizations to apply. And I hope everybody starts to look at experimenting with gratitude, because it is a great fear killer, right? Gratitude, when you bring it in, those two frequencies can't coexist in the same space. So if you're feeling like in a meeting, you walk into a meeting and the energy is kind of low and everyone's feeling wiped out, try this. Try this sense of gratitude. We also have done this sense of appreciation. Like, we go around the room and say what we appreciate about somebody in the room. It's the same sort of thing. We're expressing gratitude to each other, to the organization, wherever we feel like it. And it is a complete game changer when it comes to setting the tone to then go into getting the work at hand complete. It's just a different sort of experience when people are coming together if you start out a meeting that way.
I think one thing too, one thing about gratitude I'm just going to say too, it's also okay, because for anyone who's listening, you know, they can say, yeah, okay, that sounds great when everything's going well. But you know, you're going to have rough days and rough meetings. And don't delete not doing the gratitude then, because sometimes if it's horrible, maybe you just lost one of your biggest clients. It was a huge revenue aspect for the company and how it's going to impact. That's not easy. You're not in a real gratitude moment when that's happening. Mm-hmm. But you can begin by saying, you know, I'm so grateful that I am here to voice this concern with others. You know, you can begin with something like that, saying, I'm grateful to know I'm not alone in this moment. So that's powerful too. It doesn't always mean when everything's great and everyone's responding. It can also mean when you're having a day like, holy, you know, smoke, what am I going to do? Name it. And that's gratitude too. And I think it's important that people also know that it's in the difficult moments. That's where your gratitude grows, and that's where the greatest strength is.
It's an invitation to be real about things too.
Absolutely. Right?
And to share in the fact that we're in this together, and we're going to address the pain points and we're going to address the celebrations with the same sense of togetherness. And I think that is a really critical thing. Brian, I want to share a little bit about and talk a little bit about what it feels like to be activated to our vital life force and our own intuition. Like, what are the sensing experiences that go on in our bodies? And how do we know when we're acting from that place versus when we are in reaction or fear?
Sure. So I'll just speak about, I'll use intuition as the great example. You know, people often, well, how do I know it's my intuition, not just me? You know, well, the way you're going to know is by acting on it at different times. It builds confidence. So for myself, intuition isn't like I hear some like big voice come into my mind or anything like that. For me, it's a little bit of a feeling. It's either a feeling or it's like an image, like I shared earlier. Like all of a sudden, that deck of business cards came to my mind, you know, wrapped in an elastic bag. Like that just came to my mind. It was a thought. But with that thought, there was a peacefulness that came with it. I always believe when intuition is really trying to lead you in a direction, it will always come with a sense of peace. It doesn't mean what you have to do may not be an easy conversation or taking action that, wow, it's a tough decision. But the act of having it come to your mind will always be a sense of peace. And it's a slight nudge. And it's something that usually just kind of makes you go, huh. That's when you know. And there are times you're going to miss it, you know, because our logical mind, because we're so conditioned to use our reason, especially in business, is going to say, oh no, that's it, because it would be this. Well, those are the moments you'll learn later, like, oh, I should have listened to that. So when you start to follow it and it leads to something else that's positive, that's when you get to know inwardly, you'd be more attentive. Oh, okay, I need to do this. I need to follow it. And you won't doubt it as much anymore, because you're following, you know that feeling, you know that thought, and you become in tune, to use a word that I know resonates deeply for you, Christine, you become in tune to how your body, how you are as a person is going to take that information. And that's really powerful. The other way that's really important too is making sure you calm yourself into a moment to have some space when you really need to focus on something. And that's something I do with all of my clients at the beginning. I lead them through a breath exercise because when we are able to take our breath that reduces anxiety, that calms our body and helps us be present, we're more open to what it may be to do next or what is a new thought. That's very important as well.
Absolutely. I mean, stillness is essential at listening to our intuition. I like to identify it personally as two different sounds of voices in my head, right? The egoic sound tends to be a little bit louder and screams at me. You know, you need to do this, or, you know, why didn't you do that? That's more of the egoic voice. And that's not intuition. The intuition is one that always speaks to you in love. Mm-hmm. There is not any judgment in intuition because it's not attached to whether you do it or follow it or follow that wisdom or not, but it's softer, it's quieter. And this is why stillness and breath and stillness and slowing down is so important, so that we can sense and hear the subtleness of what is going on, not only around us, but what is going on inside of us.
Absolutely.
And that's so important to what we're talking about. And this has application, obviously, as human beings walking the planet right now. It has application in our interpersonal relationships. It has application at work. In every aspect. And the more that we can cultivate and develop and raise our level of frequency, raise our level of consciousness and awareness, the more that we're going to be able to look for not only greater fulfillment as a human being, but greater opportunities. We see more opportunities, we see more solutions, we see the connectivity of life that is actually possible. So this is a super important conversation, and I'm so happy that we were able to have this. And I hope that our listeners actually got a few nuggets of things to try. But Brian, I want to open up the door right now at this point in our conversation to the micro practice, or something that our people can take away with them, and also to bring it into their own personal experience. Because as you and I know, working with executives and coaching individuals, is that this is a personal journey. So everyone can hear what we're talking about, but it's so important to go inside and find out what's authentic to you. And so in this micro practice, we invite you to drop in to identifying where your intuition resides, where that stillness place that exists within you. And so I want to start by inviting our listeners to join us in this micro practice.
Absolutely. And I think just one thing, you know, I'll share, and what I would love to share is one of the things I do, as I mentioned, I begin every one of my sessions with, you know, executives, teaching them a breathing exercise. That I tell them, I said, this is something you can incorporate every day privately on your own, especially when you're trying to settle or you're going between meetings. But it's also something I tell them you can incorporate in the moment. Let's say you're in a meeting and it's getting heated and you know something needs, a decision needs to be made. You can do it without everyone even know you're doing it, seated there. That will help calm you. So, you know, this practice is a way of something you can do privately on your own, to really go into that stillness, to open up your sense of intuition. But it's also something you can take into a boardroom with your eyes open and privately also do it sitting there. No one's even going to know you're doing it and how it can have an impact. So I think it's great about this micro practice that we can begin today. So this is a breathing exercise that is very simple. So this is one that I'm going to share with you how to do it on your own, and then how to do it if you're in a moment that's tense. So if you're on your own, just always begin, place both feet on the floor. Just sit kind of straight. And you can close your eyes. And you can either have the palms of your hands face up, Or sometimes you can also place your left hand on your heart and your right hand over it. And what's really important, is, especially in this moment, is to just be quiet and listen to the noise that may be in the room that you're in, the hum of maybe your laptop or whatever may be in the room, also to the noises that are outside. And so I always invite people just to take a moment to listen to the noises that are around as we begin to go inward. And then we begin by taking a deep breath in for 4 seconds. Just listen to my voice. Whoever's listening can try this. Take a deep breath in. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And slowly exhale for 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Again, this time, just follow my voice. Deep breath in. Hold. And slowly exhale out. And this last time, take a deep breath in. Hold. Think of something that you're grateful for in this very moment. And slowly exhale that out into the room around you. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. It's a beautiful practice you can do on your own, privately in your car, in your office, if the door is closed, wherever it may be. But let's say you're in a moment. Let's say you're even maybe having a dispute with your spouse or your partner, or you're in a boardroom and it's kind of getting there. You can do the same thing by just becoming very focused on almost all that's happening in the room, but just quietly with your eyes open, just take a deep breath in through your nose, hold, and then just simply breathe out just quietly, even just your mouth a little open or through your nose. And what it will do, it will automatically start to regulate and take you from the fight or flight moment of sometimes when we're in a moment, we can't think straight. And that will open up a sense of listening. Sometimes when you finish a breathing exercise, that's when you can simply ask, intuition, my higher self, whatever term you wish to use, what is it that I need to know in this moment? And oftentimes it will come with kind of an image, or it could be a word, or it's a feeling of something to do. But by quieting it down and asking the question specifically, something will come. And if for some reason something doesn't come, that's also an answer. Maybe you just need to sit longer. So just be very attentive to that. It's something that is so powerful. I was so nervous, Christine, to do this the first time with my clients. I was thinking, what are they going to think? But I'm like, if I'm going to be authentic and real, and I have to tell you, it is the number one response from every executive when they finish working with me. They're like, I've incorporated that. The other night I woke up in the middle of the night, my mind was racing, and I did that breathing exercise, and it helped me rest, or it gave me this thought. It's very powerful, and it's something that's a way that just opens us up in a very simple way. No matter who you are, where you are, it really is powerful.
We so appreciate you, Brian, and thank you for that. It's definitely a observation and awareness opener when you breathe that way, and you can see and sense more about what's going on around you, what you need to learn from a specific situation, what it's teaching us all the time. Life is teaching us all the time. And when we can slow our reactions down by breathing, we attune into our observations. Mm-hmm. And then we can make appropriate actions based on what we're seeing and sensing, versus having an immediate response. And so I feel like it's a really valuable tool.
It's also really helpful too that maybe there's a moment where we lose our cool, you know? Maybe we're not in that moment, so we lose it, right? We snip or we say something, we react. And then it's like, oof, like that wasn't the right thing to say. So rather than beating yourself up and feeling guilty, what I say, what I do, da-da-da, it's a beautiful exercise to do even on your own because it can help you know how to amend it or what to do next. So why waste energy in your mind and your ego telling you how awful you are in creating these scenarios? Tap into that stillness and that intuition. It's there to help guide you to bring amends, to bring healing, to bring you to where you need to be next. So it's a wonderful way to also counteract the times that as humans, which we're going to do, we mess up. And it's a way to bring us back into alignment.
Thank you so much, Brian. Welcome to the human revolution that we're all in right now. And we hope you all are developing the inner capacities in order to navigate these times. And thank you so much for listening.
If listening to The Business of Being Human has intrigued you, inspired you, encouraged you, we would appreciate it if you rated and left us a review on Apple Podcasts. This will help others find the show.
The Business of Being Human is a production of Intune Collective. It is produced and edited by Elizabeth Joy Windham, associate producer Emily Petrov.
Executive producers are Christine Hildebrand and Wendy Horn Brower. Our theme music is by Adrian Walther. It is called Empowered. Cover and episode art is by Lisa Hardy.
You can find all of our episodes and learn more about the services of Intune Collective at intunecollective.com.